Now I see grace. Hallelujah. I stand in faith. I'm standing in an empty grave. And the storm that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Point. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Hope you come back. And now is our time where we turn and look at everybody and say, glad you're here. Nice to see you again. And let's go ahead and do that. Kevin's going to wrap up a sermon he's been preaching for the last couple of weeks. It's a good one. It's about God's great love. And I hope, maybe hopefully, we might learn something from it and better work some love into our relationships. So here's an opening prayer for us. Well, let me read the verse first. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. So let's open with a prayer and begin our service. Father, thank you that we can gather here today. Thank you for bringing everybody back here this week that we might share fellowship and hear the sermon Kevin's about to preach. Guide us in our ways this coming week. Thank you for all the blessings you put in our life. Help us to always rely upon you. Guide us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Does anybody identify with anything that was said or those people experienced about love? It goes from one extreme to the other. I want to share with you some things that some children said about love. Might give us a better perspective. When asked about what love is, Rebecca, age 8, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my granddad does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too." That's love. Billy, age 4, said, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." Emily, age 8, "Love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss." Bobby, age 7, said, "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." Noel, age 7, said, "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day." Chris, age 7, said, "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Brad Pitt." Karen, age 7, says, "When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of them." We have been in this series developing outstanding relationships through God's great love. And today I want to talk about God's great love and how that impacts different relationships that we have in life. We base this series on 1 Corinthians 13, and now we're coming to the final end of 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says this in verse 13. "So now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." How can God's love bless and grow our relationships in life? Well, the Bible tells us that God himself is love. God doesn't just have love. He doesn't just show love. God is love. Love is the nature, the character, the essence of God. And the reason you're able to give and receive love is because the God of love made you in his image. Folks, and if you have your outlines, take them out of your bulletin. I want you to write some things down. The thing we need to really understand and focus on at the beginning of this message is the first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Now, when you write the word loved in there, I want you to circle that whole sentence because I'm going to spend a long time on that very concept as we get into the message. The first purpose, the most important purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 1:4. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Folks, God made you to love you. We really need to sit back for a little while this morning and let that sink in. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life isn't even to love God. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you. God didn't create you in the first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. And if you misunderstand this revolutionary truth, and most of you really never got this, and sometimes I come in and out of it personally, you've got to understand that God's purpose for your life, first and foremost, is simply to recognize and receive his love for you. That is your number one purpose in this life. It's not to do something for God, it's to receive something from God. We were all made to be the receivers of God's love. We need to get this. Your first duty in life isn't to do something. It's not to learn, to listen. It's not to pray. It's not to give. It's not to sacrifice. It's not to serve. Those are all good things, but they come later. God created you to accept and receive his love. That's the first purpose of your life and my life is to be loved by God. Fill this in on your outline. My first calling in life is to enjoy a relationship with God. Paul said in Romans 1:7, "Dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly, and he has called you to be his very own people." Folks, what I'm sharing with you is really basic, fundamental Christianity. The number one calling in your life is not to a role, it's not to a responsibility, it's not to a bunch of rules, it's not to some regulations, it's not to a ritual, it's not even to religion. It is to a relationship with God. And if you miss that, you've missed God's purpose for your life. What kind of relationship does God want you to have with him? Fill this in. The relationship is to be a son or a daughter. Simple. We're to be children of God. We're to be sons of God. We are to be daughters of God. He wants you in his family. And the most amazing truth you will ever hear in your life is that God wants you in his family. He doesn't want you to be his slave, a servant, a soldier, but a son and a daughter. God wants a family to love, and he wants to love you. And he wants you to receive his love first and foremost. Look what the Apostle John said in 1 John 3, verse 1. "What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown us, that we should be named and called and counted as the children of God. And so we are." Your number one calling in life, your number one purpose in life, it's not to accomplish anything. It's not to make something of yourself. Your number one purpose in life is not to make money or be famous or have a lot of fun. Your number one purpose in life is to be loved by God. And aren't you glad that God loves you on your good days and your bad days? When you don't feel it, when you think you deserve it, or you don't deserve it, and when you know what you've done shows that we don't really deserve God's love, but you know he loves you anyhow. God will never love you any more than he does right this moment, and he will never love you any less ever than he loves you right now. Because God's love is not based on who you are or what you do, it's based on who he is. And the Bible says very clearly that God is love. And your number one calling in life is to receive his love. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. He said, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Underline that part of this verse. I love that sentence. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as God, all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. The Bible says that part of your calling is to understand how wide, long, deep, and high God's love is for you. How wide is God's love? It's wide enough to be everywhere. You can't go somewhere that God's love isn't there. It's that wide, folks. It covers every place you've ever been and will ever be. In your mind, psychologically, in your heart, in your emotions, physically, where you're located. It's wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place in the entire universe that God's love ends. It's in the bar. It's in the red light district. It's in the slum, it's in the ghetto, it's in the place of the poorest of the poor, in war-torn areas. It's in the place where people who have billions of dollars live. It is everywhere. There is no place where God's love is not. How wide is God's love? Wide enough to be everywhere. How long? How long is God's love? It's long enough to last forever. It's long enough to last forever. Anybody ever been involved in a task that was going to require some of your energy, some of your physical energy, mental energy, and you thought, I can do this. I can handle this. And you get involved, and you start doing, and you start thinking, you're applying yourself, and before long, you get tired. You begin to start wearing out. And you're like, man, I bit off more than I can chew. I just can't last that long. But God's love, it lasts forever. That's a big difference between his love and human love. Human love wears out. That's one of the reasons why we have relational breakups. That's why we have conflict. That's why we have people estranged from each other. But God's love will never, never, never wear out. He will never stop loving you. It doesn't end. I don't know what you've been through in life, but I'm guessing that that's the truth the Bible's telling you, and that ought to make you feel pretty good. That ought to encourage you. God's love is long enough to last forever. God's love is deep. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to handle anything. It's deep enough to handle anything, no matter what pain you've gone through or are going through, what problems you're involved with now, what you've been through, the hurt that you're going through, God's love is deeper still. You say, Kevin, you don't know. I've hit rock bottom. I do know that. Been there. I've lived there several times. You have too. I've hit rock bottom. And even there, God's love is there. If you can't feel it, if you can't sense it because your emotions are so mixed up, so out of whack, I get it. But that doesn't mean God's love isn't there. It most certainly is. It's that deep. God's love goes as deep as you've ever felt you've ever been. How high is God's love? It's high enough to overlook my sins. I should have got an amen right there. God's love is high enough to overlook my sins, to forgive me of what I willfully chose to do wrong against God and against other people, maybe even against myself. Because of Jesus, God is able to overlook our faults, our failures, our sin, our rebellion, and God offers forgiveness through the cross because of his love. He offers you a fresh start over. So here's the question. How does staying aware and living in God's love, how does that positively impact developing outstanding relationships? Let me give you four things that will radically change your life if you can accept God's first call, that God's first purpose in your life, in which all he wants you to do is just receive his love. Forget thinking about what you can give back. You've got to get used to just every day just saying, God, you made me again today to receive your love. Once you do that, then you can start out in life. In this case, we're talking about in relationships, and see how his love impacts your relationships. So let me give you four things that can radically change in your life if you'll accept God's first call, God's first purpose in your life, which is to receive his love for your life every day. And when you do that, some things can happen in your relationships. When you stay aware of God's constant love for you, number one, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. A lot of people go through their entire lives avoiding God. One of the reasons they do is they feel ashamed. And they feel guilty. They feel under condemnation. They feel judged and criticized. And they think God is up there just waiting for another opportunity to belittle them because of what they've done wrong or what they haven't done right. Well, let's look at what Paul has to say about that. In Romans 5:1, Paul said, "By faith we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God." Because of what Jesus did, we've been made acceptable by God. And because of that, God accepts us. He accepts me. He accepts you completely and totally and unconditionally. Because of his love, we can live at peace with God. Let me tell you why that's so important. Because it sets you free from the addiction to be approved. Many of us have spent our entire lives trying to gain the approval and the acceptance of other people. You dress the way you do in order to get other people's approval. You talk the way you do in order to get other people's acceptance and approval. You do certain things in life because you want the approval of other people. And you're addicted to what you see as their approval. And if you feel like you don't have it, your life feels all messed up. Some of you have been trying to gain approval from some unpleasable people your entire life. And you're never going to get it. But when you realize that God loves you unconditionally, you realize you don't need the approval of other people. And that begins to set you free. If they don't like me, fine. If they think I'm something not worthy of their love or attention, no big deal. The God of the universe thinks I am. And when you know how much God loves you, things like criticism begin not to bother you near as much. If God loves me and I'm in his will for my life and I'm receiving his love, if you don't like me, not my problem. Matter of fact, not being egotistical, but it's your loss. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Paul says this: if God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anyone bring charges against them? Or can anyone condemn them? What did Paul say? No. Matter of fact, no indeed. Why can't anyone condemn us? I mean, we're not perfect. We still have selfish ways. We've not been perfected yet. Why can't anyone condemn us? Because God himself doesn't condemn us. Through Jesus, we are loved and forgiven. We rest in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and on our behalf. And he says, God, I died for them. I shed my blood for them. I'm protecting them. And God says, Jesus, if you did that, it's good enough for me. We are not condemned. When we experience the unconditional love of God on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, we feel accepted, not ashamed, which releases you to love others fully and unhindered. You relate to others not from a place of shame, but from a feeling of, because God accepts you, you feel like you can accept yourself. And that's what God wants us to do. When you stay aware of God's constant love for you, secondly, I am bold in bringing my needs to God. You feel accepted and ashamed, and then you feel bold in bringing your needs to God. You feel bold in your prayers. Why? Because you're a child of God. I'm in God's family, so I know God loves me unconditionally. And when I pray to him, I can just talk to him about what's going on, about the good things and the things I'm struggling with, or praying for somebody else. You can do that because you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter, you're in his family. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So, you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. The word there where this particular New Living Translation said, Father, dear Father, in the Arabic is the word Abba, not to be confused with the music group. Abba is the word in the Middle East for the term we would say is daddy. It's the first word every kid in the Middle East learns. Abba, daddy. It's easy to say. Abba, papa, daddy, dada, Abba. The Bible says that when you come to God in prayer, you come to him and you say, daddy, papa, father. You don't have to come to him with some fancy phrases. You just come to him and say, Dad, can you listen to me right now? In the movie Lincoln, one of the things that impressed me more about that movie, and particularly the way it showed Abraham Lincoln, was how great of a leader he was. What impressed me was how he gave total, complete, unconditional access to his youngest child, Tad. Here's Lincoln, the most powerful man in the world, in the greatest crisis in American history, the Civil War. There's a line of people outside the doors of the White House trying to get in to see the president. They've been waiting for months to have an appointment with him. And he's got somebody in the Oval Office, and he's talking. And all of a sudden, Tad comes barging into his office. And Abraham Lincoln would all of a sudden turn his attention from this gentleman to his son. He'd say, "Dad, come on over here. Get up on my lap. What's going on, Tad? What do you want to talk about?" Tad could do that because Tad was his child. And his child was far more important than anyone else. Why did Tad have those privileges? Because he was a child. And he didn't have to wait. He had full access to his father anytime he wanted it. You are a child of God. You have access to your father anytime you want it, anytime you need it. Look at the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Folks, we can be bold and when we talk to our Heavenly Father because we are His children. We are loved unconditionally. So in relationships, we feel accepted rather than ashamed. We become bold in our prayers to God when we talk with God because we're His child and He loves us. Third, when you stay aware of God's constant love, number three, you gain courage to take risks. You gain courage to take risks. Folks, when somebody believes in you, you are capable of accomplishing things you would never be able to accomplish on just your own. Just because someone believes in you, gives you the courage to go on and take chances and get yourself involved in something that you think you want to be a part of. When someone believes in you unconditionally the way God does, and when you experience it, it releases you. You have dreams that have gone unfulfilled in your life because you've been scared to death to go after them, and God says, "Don't be afraid." You think, "What if I fail?" Some of you are going to die with unfulfilled dreams because you're asking that question, "What if I fail? What if I fail? What if you do fail?" It has nothing to do with God's love for you. Maybe He's trying to teach you a life lesson. So what if you do fail? Get back up, try again, or move on to something else. Your Heavenly Father comes to you today and He says, "It's okay, you can start over." Maybe you just missed God's leadership because you were busy doing something else. God said, "Come on, I'll give you another chance." You're afraid to take that chance. No need to be. You're in your Father's care. 1 John 4:18 says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment." When love comes in, folks, and love comes in the front door, fear goes out the back door. There's no need for you to be afraid of God and what He's calling you to do. He loves you dearly. And there's a fourth thing that happens when you stay aware of the love of God in your life. Number four, I worship instead of worry. I worship instead of worry. Worship is expressing our love to God. And anytime you say to God, "God, I love you," that's worship. You can worship alone at home. You can worship when you're driving down the road. Just don't listen to the song and feel like you want to raise your hands. Otherwise, you'll be all right. You can worship in your small group. You can worship in a church building where we are now in a worship service. You can worship anytime, any place, just sharing your love with God. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? I think one of the ways you know you're not feeling God's love is you begin to worry. Anybody have the gift of worrying here today? Yeah, you're worried about raising your hand though, right? When you worry, in part it's because you have forgotten how much God loves you and how He's going to take care of you. Worrying is pretending like it's all on your shoulders, when it's not. Look at these verses in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Jesus is speaking. He said, "So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He'll give you all you need from day to day if you'll live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't worry. Instead, worship. Live in God's love. Worship Him. And remember, God loves you no matter what. So let's allow that love that God has for us to impact us in our relationships and in life in general. God really does love us. If you allow God to love you and you receive God's love and you allow that love to do everything and more that we talked about today, your relationships are going to grow. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you that you have unconditional love for us and acceptance of us. And God, I just pray that we'll be able to breathe in that love once again in a new and a fresh way. Because when we do, it frees us up in our relationships so that our relationships can be more positive and can grow. So start with us wherever we are, Lord. Everybody in this room is at some place in a relationship, whether it's with you or others. Everyone in this room has needs, God, that you can meet. And I pray that would take place right now. So change us, grow us. Help us always to remember the first responsibility we have in life is not to do anything for you, but to receive your love first and foremost. We start there. I pray these things, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Love that, love that. All right, here come the announcements up. It's the... I tell you what, last week we put Jonathan on the spot, had him walk up to the microphone. He broke a record in attendance on Wednesday night. How many did you have over? Eight men were out on Wednesday night for Bible study. So, guys, if you want to come out and be a part of that, and I think we talked about it, I think the fellowship hall building, because you've grown some, they might be meeting over there. So check out when you come in. Check out the small groups. Love to have you come. Got a brand new one starting on Wednesday afternoons. For the women, but check out those different groups. If you have a graduate that you're associated with, I'm saying college, high school, probably won't go down below that. You know, we're not going to honor all the kindergarten folks' grads, although that's important. High school, college, medical school, you know, all those things. Let us know. We want to honor them in the next few weeks, and we'll have that. Sunday will announce that and let you know that as well. Next Sunday night, Tim, are you going to be doing the burgers?
I'll be doing burgers.
Hey, man. Burger bash at the Pickett's house. So we'll be giving you all the information on that. And thank you, folks, for coming out and helping out with James Island Outreach. It looked like we had a good group show up and helped out with that as well. I think that's it. What do you got? You're pointing at it, Joe. That's last week, wasn't it? Oh, it's May 29th. I'm thinking April. What's the April? May 29th. There it is on a Thursday. Don't miss it. So it's coming up in a few weeks. There we go. Don't be angry or conflictive, right? That was last week's message. All right, here we go. Nice. All right. Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for the great message today about love and how it's the most important thing to know your love, to have that relationship with you. Lord, if there's anybody here today who's never taken that step, I pray today would be a day of building that relationship to be your son and your daughter in this world. We love you and we thank you now. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.